I'd ask you to take your Bibles, please, with me and turn to the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter. I'm going to read a long text to you this evening and then, Lord willing, make some brief comments about the text. The Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter. I'd like to speak to you briefly about three of the hardest lessons that we're ever called upon as Christians to learn. They are matters of trust that become foundational in order for us to grow in our Christian walk. Mark chapter 8, we read in verse 1, "In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they've now been with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat. If I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. He commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. They had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them, and so they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came unto the parts of Dalmunutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and departing into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It's because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said to them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And why do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. He said to them, How is it that you do not understand? You recall the first question asked in the Bible by God was the question, Adam, where are you, Adam? The first conversation between God and fallen man began with a question. The Creator does all things well. The God who created us had a desire to touch the very conscience of His fallen creature. Somehow He has wired us that when a question is asked, our conscience becomes available to be impacted. When an accusation is made, our will is impacted, and typically an accusation will harden the will, and a conscience will be softened by a question. And so it is that Samuel comes before Saul and he says, What means the bleating of the sheep? And Nathan comes before David and says, What shall be done with the man who has stolen and slain this lamb? And our Savior, when betrayed by Judas, asked the question, Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Did you know what happened here in the Gospel of Mark chapter 8, beginning in the 17th verse? When Jesus knew that they were reasoning, not understanding his teaching regarding the leaven of the Pharisees, he begins to ask a series almost of unbroken questions. It's the longest single series of questions that the Savior asks recorded in his earthly ministry. In these brief verses, we discover 9 short, rapid-fire questions being given by the Lord. Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, verse 17, neither understand, have you hearts that are yet hardened? Do you have eyes that don't see? Do you have ears that cannot hear? Don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000? How many baskets full? 12. And the 7 among 4,000. How many baskets full? 7. And he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? Let's look at the circumstances in which the Lord was living with his disciples and allow the circumstances that were to them confusing to bring to us this evening clarity. Do you understand the ways of the Lord with his people? The Master is teaching his pupils in this text to comprehend three of the hardest lessons the disciple will ever learn. They are lessons having to do with the theme of trust. And until we get a grasp on these lessons of trust, it will be very difficult for us to enjoy and learn greater truths. We've read a long text this evening, but we've done so purposely. That long text ends with this question: how is it that you do not understand? Understand what? How is it that you have not yet learned to understand his compassion? In the first 3 verses of Mark chapter 8, the compassion of Christ is on display yet again. In verse 2, I have compassion upon the multitude. And friend, since he has compassion upon the multitude, he also can be counted on to have compassion upon the individual. 11 times in the gospel, the compassion of Christ is going to be noted. 4 times it's going to be noted in this way: his heart was moved with compassion. His heart was moved with compassion because he saw their need. The 2nd verse, he knew that they were hungry, having nothing to eat. How good to know that we have a high priest who knows the feelings of our infirmities. He has in all points been tempted as we are, and yet without sin. As he saw this multitude, knowing that they would faint by the wayside without bread, no doubt his mind went back to the time when he went out into the wilderness and was tempted there for 40 days and 40 nights without food. And his compassionate heart led him to have a burden that is lasting through time and eternity. How wonderful it is to be mentored by those who share our burdens. When I was in high school, shortly after having learned to drive, I did a terrible thing. I went too fast on a West Virginia country road. I wrapped my father's car around a tree. I called home and I said, Dad, I've been in an accident. He said, well, drive home, we'll look at it. I said, Dad, you don't understand. This car is not drivable. Really? He said, well, then get home somehow. I ran 4 miles. I had an adrenaline rush such as I've never had before. As soon as I entered the door, my dad said something like this: I've been driving for 35 years and I've never yet had an accident. It was a Wednesday evening. By the time we got to service that evening, I'd heard at least 6 times, I've been driving for 35 years and I've never had an accident. We went to the accident scene. For just a short time, my dad was fairly quiet. It was a miracle that I lived. But by the next morning, he was over the miracle, and he told me again, I've been driving for 35 years. He went and bought a new car. I'd heard at least 12 times by then about his careful driving record. And about 3 days after he'd purchased the new car, he pulled out onto the interstate with our family in the car, and someone plowed right into him, and I almost said amen. It's hard to live under the tutelage of those who don't understand our weaknesses. But the Lord knows our weaknesses. He remembers that we are dust. And in the text that we've read, he knew the limits of this gathering multitude, and he said, they will faint by the way. In Isaiah 49, verse 15, the Word of God says, can a woman forget her nursing child? She should have compassion on the son of her womb. Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Here is a lesson that the disciples as yet had not come to grips with. that they served one who was altogether compassion incarnate. Dear Christian friend, may your heart be lifted up this evening. How is it that you don't understand that He understands our needs and He knows our limits? And in the fourth verse, His disciples said, "From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" And of course, we now know that the Lord could indeed satisfy. And yet, at the end of this day, He is asking them a question. How is it that you do not understand? Somehow they not yet comprehended His compassion. Somehow they'd already forgotten His provision. Here is a second great lesson in trusting the Lord that all of us need to be reminded of. He was able to provide for the multitude, and as He provides for the multitude, He provides for you and He provides for me. He's the Lord who said, "Take no thought for what you should eat or what you should drink." Shall we make just a couple of observations from this text this evening? How frequently our Lord is seen to provide for His people when circumstances seem impossible. The text tells us the disciples said, "From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" And the key word in their question is the word "man." A man couldn't satisfy for these many in the wilderness, but the Son of Man could. A man couldn't provide for all of these who were fainting by the wayside, but Jesus Christ could. When you put Christ in the equation, the whole equation changes rapidly. The ability of the Lord to provide for His people should never be questioned. The Pacific Garden Mission is the home of the Unshackled program that many of us have enjoyed when listening to the radio. When General Clark was beginning the Pacific Garden Mission, there came a day that they were out of funds and not knowing what they would do to keep the ministry alive. He fell on his knees and asked the Lord to provide. And when he awakened the next day, he went out in his yard and discovered something unusual. There were mushrooms growing everywhere. He summoned someone to come to look, and they said, "Well, these are edible mushrooms." He literally cut the mushrooms, sold them, and kept the ministry going. God has a way of making provision for us that is often miraculous. He provides graciously sometimes through human agents. It's no accident that He said to His disciples in verse 6, "Here, let me distribute the bread to you and you distribute it to others." And how wonderful it is when other friends along the way have a burden of heart to participate, even as we've been challenged tonight through Widow's Jar Ministry in helping others. And oh, how glorious it is to discover that when they were done distributing, there were baskets full. His provision is always in superabundance. How is it that you don't understand that? That you don't understand His compassion, or that you don't understand His provision? Hard lessons for us to learn, but we must learn them. And along the pathway of this day, we come to the 10th verse, and straightway He entered into a ship with His disciples and came to Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with Him, seeking of Him a sign from heaven. They tempted Him, and He sighed deeply in His spirit and said, "Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation." And the saddest words in this whole text are these, "And He left them." And He entered into a ship, again departing to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them even one loaf, and He charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, "It's because we have no bread." They didn't get it. The Pharisees were seeking after a sign. The Savior, the incarnate Word, was to them the revelation of God. How is it that we don't understand that His revelation is always sufficient? That we don't seem to understand that His Word will always have that which is necessary in the hour of our adversity, that which can bring clarity in the time of our perplexity, that His Word is always sufficient. The Pharisees didn't understand it, and the disciples, having only recently heard the Lord vexed in spirit because yet another crowd wanted to see yet another sign. We live in a generation seeking after a sign. Give me that emotional satisfaction. Give me that seeming titillating moment. Allow me to have that feeling of euphoria. Don't you get it? That it's through the revelation of His Word that His people will always be grounded and always grow. Severe question being asked of the disciples. And the Lord who created us knows that a question touches the conscience. And in rapid fire machine gun succession, He asked 9 of them. Because on this particular day, the disciples were demonstrating they yet had lessons in trust that they needed to learn. To trust His compassion. To trust His provision. To trust His revelation. May God help us this evening to learn those lessons so that we're ready for others along the path that He has chosen for us. Let's stand together as we look to the Lord in prayer. Father, You have been good to us every day. So today, Lord, we give You thanks for that. And we ask that You would help us to learn well as You lead in our lives and provide. And remember often that we can cast all our cares upon You and You will care for us. That we would know well, Lord, that Your provision for us is abundant and sure, and Your revelation for us is all that's necessary to guide our feet aright. Lord, help us to learn the simple lessons that we might be ready for other lessons also. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.